Hi, this is Foster Brown, your co-host and producer of the program, the Internet Advisor. This is your hour. What do we mean by that? Weren't they all yours? Yes, this one in particular. That means that you can give us a call anytime during this hour, and we will do our very best to answer your question about your computer problem. 800-859-0957 is the phone number. Give us a call, 800-859-0957. Don't wait to be the last person in line. We want to get to answering your questions. And we've added a whole new layer of tech support for our program this afternoon. 800-859-0957. That's the number to give us a call with your questions about your computer, about getting on the internet, getting around it, or getting over it, as we sometimes say. You may be having trouble getting a printer to work with your computer or getting emails, whatever it may be. We're here to help answer your questions. And the help that we have this afternoon and working into this evening are the folks from IT in the D. That's Dave Phillips and Bob Waltonfield and Nuri Gojai are with us. They are three of the members of that particular podcast, but also they are the founding members of the PodcastDetroit.com. That's on the podcast network that we're part of here. You can find Internet Advisor there as well as a lot of other great programs, really unique, creative kind of programs that are there as well that are broadcast, and you can get to them anytime that you please through their app, which you will find in the iTunes store, right, guys? The iTunes store?
Yep, iTunes, Google Play, anywhere fine podcasts are sold, you can find us, yeah.
And that is free, by the way. Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely.
It's absolutely free, and it's the Podcast Detroit app, and if you go to iTunes, look for that. They are, I'm a technical expert, and that's their brand. That's what they've been doing for a long time.
No. We always say we are not experts. We are not ninjas. We are not gurus.
Oh.
We are not. No.
See, I was working up to that. Let's just say they've been around for a long time with a lot of experience.
Somebody here would be.
You know, I'm really good at making your VCR stop blinking 12:00.
You can do that.
Really good at that.
I need your help after the show.
All seriousness aside, these guys are all very good at handling technical problems as well. Dave, in particular, because you've been the resident geek for a long time. You started out hosting your own website and your hosting and design company, right?
Yeah.
That's what you started with. And so you've got that resource plus Ed Rudell and Gary Baker in here as well. Now, Ed, we were talking before the program about some of the things that have been going on this week that you wanted to share with people before we get too deeply into other people's questions.
Well, we were talking about, phishing for one, and it just always amazes me how creative these emails and how they draw you in. The most recent is that there's two topics, basically. You know, people illegally downloading movies, and especially Game of Thrones, and people receiving their notifications from their cable provider and the FCC that they're downloading illegal content. Mm. So now there's a bunch of mass emails being sent out that claim that they're from the internet service provider, that this person has downloaded Game of Thrones illegally, which they probably have. But if they pay this settlement, it'll probably go to some company in China or South Africa or whatever like that.
So it's scaring them into...
possibly doing that. And no, you would have a lawyer knocking on your door, and you'd have several emails, including a written. And believe me, I've received written emails from my internet service provider when my kids were 8 years old and downloading illegal content.
Uh-oh.
You do not want that happening.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we heard with our newscast here at WJR just a little before this about people getting scammed by the IRS.
Yes.
People are getting calls, and they're also getting emails on that basis. And wasn't it about the state taxes?
Unemployment insurance, there's a lot of people that have been scammed in that arena.
And just this last week, God bless her, an older lady called us, and she had fallen for it. And in some ways, I'm kind of stunned when I hear that people have fallen for,
shouldn't be stunned, because certainly they're pretty good at con men, right?
These are just
con men on the internet.
But you think, though, with all the stories that are out there, that people would know that this is...
They're really good.
But for some reason...
These cons are really good.
You know, I think we should take a day and call it like National Talk to Your Grandparents About Internet Scams Day.
Oh,
what a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And the lady this last time around was about, what happens?
She said she received a call from Microsoft.
That's right.
And that she has some bad software on her computer. And so she goes, really? And you're in my computer now. And meanwhile, while she's talking the phone, she shut off her computer. And they go, oh, yeah, we can see the files right now. And then she called them out on the carpet, mm-hmm. basically saying, you know, this is baloney. Yep. You're not in my computer.
That was
you're
one of the calls. But yes. On one of the other calls, the lady, unfortunately, got hooked into it and ended up sending them, I don't know, $100 and some odd.
But, you know, I mean, we do think of the stereotypes of, you know, millennials, they know technology, and older people over 55, not so much. And Dropbox just did a survey, and they said that people over age 55 have used up to 4.9 forms of different technologies per week compared to the overall average of 4.7. And this is a survey they did of 4,000 people.
That's interesting.
And Tech Republic reported on this, which is a really good. I monitor what Tech Republic puts out. They're very smart at that. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing when you go down through that whole survey and all of the statistics. Hey, people over 55, why are they more technically... and it doesn't say that they're smarter about technology. Yeah. They're less stressed about it, and they use different forms of technology.
That's interesting.
First of all, they have disposable income. Second of all, they have time to learn it all. Right. And, you know, so when you start to dig into the article, you understand why that might happen. But
dude, my grandma's on Snapchat.
Yeah. God, it was MySpace, right?
Instagram.
Oh, MySpace. The kids loved it. And then all of a sudden their parents got on. They said, OK, got to find something else. Facebook. And then all the parents got on. So now they got to find Snapchat. All the parents.
No, you know, what's really bad is the mall walkers, the grandparents that do the Pokemon Go. They're playing Pokemon Go at the mall. They're over 67 years old, and they're up before everyone else, and they're collecting all the Pokemon. Can you believe that?
It's like the Red Dawn episode of South Park.
All right, folks, that's just a start. We'd love to talk with you this afternoon on the Internet Advisor. And the number to do that is simply call us at 800-859-0957. And a fair warning to you, get the call in early. I'd like to take a moment to thank the folks behind the glass, as we say, in our program. That's the engineer and producer who worked so hard to keep us on the air and keep things moving. And Dave Schwartz is our engineer today. Thank you very much for being there. And also Logan Standifer. Logan, good to have you. And let's get her busy. The number is 800-859-0957. And what does that connect you to? Connects you to a whole bunch of people in here anxious to help you with your computers and your internet experience, perhaps getting on with your computer, maybe getting connected to some of the devices that you have. Cell phones, we talked about that a lot in the past as well. 800-859-0957. You may just kind of be traveling by this area, and with our signal with WJR, we have quite a reach, and you've had a problem yourself, and should I call in? Listen, our motto is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Ed, let's talk a little bit about Windows 10, because that has been a big subject of conversation here, on especially this hour, with people updating to Windows 10 and then taking care of the anniversary update.
Well, the anniversary update was something that was promised for August 2nd, but it turned out it was really for laptops that were delivered with Windows 10 already pre-installed seem to be the ones that are receiving the update first. People that have upgraded from Windows 7 or Windows 8 to Windows 10 have not received the updates unless they've gone to the Microsoft site and pulled up the August 2nd and downloaded it manually. And that's probably a good thing, is not to do that, because apparently Microsoft's tweaking that quite a bit.
Yes.
It tweaks people's default security settings, how they receive updates. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good benefits, supposedly, about this anniversary update, it's called, for August 2nd. But other than that, you know, I'm laying off. I'm not going to manually download it.
Well, I did. Let's clarify something here. There's a difference between upgrade to Windows 10 and update. The upgrades, the free ones, ended on July the 29th. There was apparently some squeak clause in there that people who were running Windows 7 Pro and also, or Windows, at least we had heard, Windows 7 Pro and Windows 8.1 were still able to do it even after that date. But that's kind of come and gone, and there's no real certainty about
that. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. If people are still eligible for a free upgrade. I did read where if you were had a new old unit, which was basically off the shelf that shipped with Windows 7 and Windows 8, and you just cut it from the Best Buy because someone blew dust off it, and it, you know,
good price,
if you were to
whatever,
power that up, and during the registration process, Microsoft will realize this is the first time it's being registered. Would you like to, you know, and to upgrade to Windows 10? So a lot of those new old units are eligible for the Windows 10 upgrade still.
Now, Foster, you said you downloaded it, so
yeah, what I did was I downloaded the update, the anniversary update. Go ahead.
What do you think about it? How different is it from Windows 7 to Windows 8?
Not very much. It's not very different from the Windows 10 experience, which is not very different from Windows 7, to be honest with you.
Talking about the anniversary update. August
the anniversary
the
update that came on August the 2nd.
Right.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I've heard that is happening is, and one of the reasons you're told, the recommendation is, don't do what I did, which, by the way, has always been good advice on this program. But don't go after.
This is true.
Don't go after.
Never
Windows.
Install version 1.0 of anything from Microsoft.
That's exactly.
Ever.
Although God knows what version this is. Don't go out and get the anniversary update. I did it anyway because I wanted to see what would happen.
But it was on your wife's computer, so it's no big deal.
Oh,
what's she
going to
do?
Right.
Throw a pan at you?
Yeah. That's more painful than if it had happened.
So is the user interface different? I guess the start menu can be a little bit different.
Some things are a little different. Not so much in the start menu. The notification menu is different.
I had heard that you cannot disable Cortana at all. So,
but why would you want to?
Well, because of all the things you have to enable, such as location services.
She's so friendly, though.
She is friendly. She does steal a lot of information. I shouldn't say steal. She just sends, takes
always
a lot
appropriation,
of information.
Clippy 3.0. Yeah.
Stop trying to make Cortana happen. It's not going to happen.
Nuri, one of the things I saw there was that down on the right-hand side on the launch bar, you get where they have the notifications.
Right.
Some new notifications pop up or little icons, and one of them is the pen.
Hmm. Right, right.
The pen functionality is part of
it. I thought you were talking about that new refrigerator option.
No. Well, they're introducing it. They're not forcing you to use it yet.
No, well,
but they're introducing it.
But
it's
there.
It's becoming better and better.
Yeah.
Now, you use a pen with yours, right?
I do.
But you have the Surface 3,
I have the Surface and Surface 3 Pro.
Yep.
And I love the pen.
Yeah.
I don't always use it. And sometimes it's easier to use a mouse, so I can plug in a USB mouse.
Right, right.
If
but
I need
for
to handwriting
and
exact,
notes.
But a lot of times I just use the touchscreen.
Okay.
No, I love
I use all three, and it's interchangeable. I don't even realize I'm interchanging from different pointer devices.
Now, I'm so glad to see that Microsoft is bringing notifications in. That's something that Mac has had in Apple's OS for years. And I think it's one of those things that if you really take the time to show which notifications are helpful or not, it's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just like, oh my God, something else. Oh my God, something else. And basically, it's just...
You know what I wish Microsoft would do? Your disk drive is failing. Back up. Even now, people will sit there and you can actually hear your computer's hard drive is screaming.
Is that my
fan? Microsoft doesn't say anything. Even though you look in the event viewer and it's like, you've got 10,000... F disk errors,
And who knows where the event viewer is?
You could just search Cortana for it.
Now, that's true. Yeah, Cortana, where is the event viewer?
But why doesn't Microsoft put a notification out there? Your disk drive has been experiencing a large number of errors. You should do something.
What's funny, I had a server fail at work the other day, actually, and it had had those events for months, and they weren't caught in any of my system monitoring, and basically we just lost all the hard drives.
Yes.
Ouch.
It happened. That hurt.
Ouch.
That hurt.
All right, 800-859-0957 is the number, and Francine is on that number from Manchester.
And they wonder why we're going to Linux.
How may we help you, Francine?
No, I'm not going to Linux.
Sure that.
What I do have is this week the Windows 10 anniversary download.
Yes.
My computer's been running 10 and everything's been okay.
Mm-hmm.
It took it upon itself to do the download. And now I get inaccessible boot device. And I cross my fingers and say a prayer and try to figure out how to wiggle and squiggle and get my computer back on. I have been able to back it up to a previous date,
mm-hmm.
it goes through and says, well, no, this didn't really happen. But if I wait, it goes into the computer and it really did happen, it's okay. But if I shut it off,
mm-hmm.
or I've obviously started leaving it on because that was just shutting right. it off's a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll eventually, you know, the next day, whatever, it might shut itself off, and then I'm back to inaccessible boot device.
And this happened after the automatic download and installation of the update, right? The anniversary update?
It did, and it might just be coincidence. But that is when it happened.
No, I don't know. I'm well, hearing other things about that
as
well.
It could be a coincidence. Yeah. It could be a coincidence, but let's see. Non-bootable boot device or
inaccessible boot device.
You know, I'm not sure what would cause that, except either you truly are having hard drive errors or your boot order has been changed.
That sounds like it, doesn't it?
Computer,
or even maybe the master boot record. Right? Yeah. There's that thing that basically tells the hardware, this is where you go to find the operating system. So yeah. Something that like that is usually a very deep level, maybe hard drive corruption. It could be something with the update that went wrong.
But what I'm
so
hearing...
what's interesting right. is that if you go to Google and you put inaccessible, it comes up with boot device.
That's the first one?
It's the third one down. Oh. So you know other people are searching on it because it shows you all the different search terms that a lot of people are using. And when you do click on it, there's all sorts of information about inaccessible boot device error in Windows 10.
Okay, the first thing, well, regardless, back up your data right now.
All your pictures, your documents, things like that, immediately.
Yeah. The other thing is that system restore, make sure that is still turned on. I've heard with people after they put the anniversary update, system restore, it gets shut off somehow. So, and you said you tried using it, so I'm pretty sure that you restore. Back up your data, search Cortana or Windows 10 for Event Viewer, and then look for disk errors.
Yeah. And YouTube, the third option is a YouTube video about how to fix Windows 10 inaccessible boot device.
All right, Francine, hang on. We'll be right back with you to talk a little bit more about this. That's why I think they call this the dog days of summer. Everybody's either taken a nap or maybe they've been washed away by the recent downpours. But we've got phone lines open here at 800-859-0957. I've been talking with Francine from Manchester, but there's room for you as well. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. We've got the crew from IT and the D in studio with us to help answer questions as well. As a matter of fact, Dave Phillip, you were saying that one of the things that is out there, and I found it really fascinating, is that there is actually a website called Let Me Google That For You.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, let's be honest. The first response, like tech support used to be, is it plugged in? Is it turned on? Have you rebooted? Now it's, have you Googled that? And so, like, whenever...
Is it plugged in?
It's kind of a smart aleck response. Like, when somebody posts something like, hey, well, what station is WJR on? Or, hey, how do I... You go to letmegooglethatforyou.com. It's L-M-G... Whatever the initials are.
L-M-G-T-F-Y.
.com. And you type in the search term, and it looks like Google.
And it is Google.
Yeah, and it gives
it
you
is.
A link.
It's a Google pop-up. Yep. So it really does go Google it, it for it, you. It,
and then
that.
It gives
but
you a link.
They get to sell advertising on it.
I know. And then it gives you a link that you can then paste back to the person who asked the
That's
question.
That's excellent.
And
That's
it excellent. Says, let me Google that for you, so you get your point across.
I love it. It's also a great way of passing on information that's a little too complicated to give somebody. Like, Ed, you often do that in terms of giving people steps to do something.
Yeah, I find some... Yeah, I'll put some steps out there, but then for more detailed instructions, here's a link, yes.
Yeah, and with
but I rarely will give someone a Google search string or something like that. I'll usually point them to a Microsoft article or something.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, too, like with Ben Carpenter, our old friend, recently asked you a question, and we'll maybe get to that in just a little bit. But I wanted to wrap up with Francine here. Francine, were you hearing the answers that were being given here about this inaccessible boot device and the problems you're having after having updated Windows 10?
I did, and right now I've got my computer up.
Okay.
So I did that, and I got the YouTube video activity and stuff readily available.
Okay, good. So you got that resource that you can use with YouTube.
Right. And the other thing, and use YouTube to figure out how to use Event Viewer to see if you are experiencing disk errors. Because, I mean, when you look, for the layman to look at the Event Viewer for the first time, you're like, oh my gosh, look at all these errors.
Right.
Most of them
Some of them are red.
Most of them are informational. Some of them are red, but they're just saying, oh, the Microsoft Time Service stopped. So, but what you're looking for is NTFS or disk errors in there. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the timestamps on those, a lot of the timestamps are like with milliseconds. You'll see 15 events within a 1 second time frame.
Okay.
And most of it is gobbledygook. What you're interested in is just quickly scroll through it, glance at the red ones for your system and see if any of them are disk errors. Back up your computer. Microsoft will, when you can go into My Computer, you can right mouse click on your C drive, you can select properties, then you can select the tools tab, and then you can say check my disk for errors. And that's another thing, innovation that Microsoft has done with Windows 10 is that you no longer have to reboot your computer to perform a disk drive or a C drive scan of your hard drive. They've actually made it so that it's almost as good as it was in 2000 with other operating systems. So you can actually scan your computer's disk drive while the OS is still running. So, which is really good.
All right. Francine, thank you so much for your call. I think you've helped a lot of other people by asking that particular question. Again, 800-859-0957 is our number. Let's go to George in Battle Creek. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Thank you very much. My wife's got about a three-year-old, I think it is, Hewlett Packard. I guess you call it the laptop, or it kind of folds out. It doesn't have the big tower or anything.
You got it.
Runs the 8 system, the 8 operating system came on it, and she likes to play Words with Friends and a couple of these other games through Facebook, and every couple times it'll lock up on her where she won't let her move a letter and all this. Any suggestions?
That's when, let's make things clear, that's when she's online and she's playing the game, that the game itself will lock up.
And she clicks on a letter, tries to move it or get it to play, and it won't do it, and she's got to shut the computer off and start all over.
So but at the time that she's playing Words with Friends, is she online with somebody?
Well, she'd have to be.
No, she's on through her Facebook.
But, okay. But the point is that she has to be connected to the internet. I guess that's the question.
Yeah,
That's why I wanted to clarify.
So let me ask a couple questions, if I may. Do you know if she can go to any other site and have it work?
Yeah, her Yahoo email works beautiful and a few things like that. It's just these couple of games.
And what kind of connection do you have to the internet?
We've got a DSL through a private telephone company out here in West Michigan, which has real good internet service.
Okay.
The first thing I would suggest is an alternate web browser.
Yep.
So if right now she's using Internet Explorer, right, then have her try Google
or
Firefox.
I think she might be using Explorer instead of Foxfire.
Well, and not only that, but so Words with Friends is a Zynga game, which means that it is Flash based, which is probably the vast majority of the issue right there.
Right.
I'm assuming if she's using IE or Edge or whatever it is on 8, that's probably, switch over to Google Chrome. But even that's not going to fully solve the issue. Those Flash based games, especially if they're open for quite some time, will just consume more and more and more and more system resources. That's why everybody's getting away from Flash and moving over to HTML5.
Yeah. The one thing you can do, because there's nothing you can do or your wife can do about that, the game is in Flash. So make sure that the Flash plugin is up to date.
Okay.
That will help as well.
Okay.
There's probably, if she hasn't upgraded her Flash in a while, it may be out of date, and that may be the problem. We all like to see people get away from Flash. It's very, not only buggy, but it has a lot of security holes and security problems with it. But if she likes that game, that's what she has to work with. And until they change it on their end, on the developer's end, that's what she's going to have to do.
And the other thing is that you could do is you can get Word for Friends on your phone. If you have a smartphone.
Okay.
Well, she plays it on the phone, too, a different game. We took it into one of these large chains, and they ran a scan on the computer and found no problem or anything.
Yeah. But as Dave was saying, the problem isn't not going to necessarily find a virus or something like that, which is typically what the larger firms are looking for.
Right.
It's the very plug-in itself, Flash, that is creating the problem. Just a quick question, guys. Can you simply refresh the browser? Will that correct the problem?
Once it gets to that lock... Once it gets to that lockup point, no.
Okay.
I mean, once it's locked up, it's locked up. But yeah, I mean, swapping over to Google Chrome as a browser and making sure that plugin is as up to date as it can be is probably going to be your best bet.
Right, by going to adobe.com, go to their Flash and re-download a fresh new copy. Yes.
I'd also say Chrome is definitely a better browser for that kind of stuff. It's less buggy and it's easier to use.
On better memory management.
Yeah, and if you don't have it.
Son-in-law works in IT for East Lansing City, so I'll tell him he wants to get Chrome and update the Flash for her.
That sounds great. You can also go to google.com/Chrome and download Chrome. It's a very easy download, and you'll find it's probably easier to use in Internet Explorer.
Yeah,
I've got that on my old 7-unit that I run. I've got Chrome on there.
Yep. I think most of us, work with Chrome because of it's clean and easy.
Yeah.
My wife has got an HP laptop running Windows 10, and actually we use Edge on that. And I find that Edge actually works pretty well. The problem is it doesn't have a lot of the plugins that are there in Chrome. Yeah. So that becomes the problem with it. George, thanks so much for your call, and I hope that those pieces of advice help you as well. 800-859-0957. Hello to Alice in Southfield. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, thank you for being there.
Yes, how can we help you?
Okay. A couple of days ago, I got a phone call. In the phone call, the person said he's from Dell. He gave me a phone number and an employee number and a supervisor number.
Mm-hmm.
And he also knew my computer ID.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a Dell computer.
Yes.
And he said there was suspicious activity. And then I said, well, is there something that I could check? So while he was on the phone, I guess I went near the bottom or something, and I typed in event VWR. And then on the screen it said event log service unavailable. Verify that the service is running. Then he wanted to do something, and I said no.
Good for you.
Good.
First
of all,
you.
Microsoft will never call you. Well, Dell will never call you.
They're not that nice.
HP will never call you.
Admiral Akbar says
the only people that will call you are con men.
Yeah.
So good job, Alice.
If we had a medal to hand out, Alice, we would hand it. We call it the Alice Medal and hand it out to you. Because it was interesting the way you posed it. This is from Dell. Okay, it's not from the ones that have been kind of typically pegged as the bad guys, Microsoft or people pretending they're from the IRS or whatever. And he also had his employee ID number. In other words, he did all these things that are supposed to make you feel like this is okay, and you didn't fall for it. You didn't take the bait. Good for you. And as I say, we're going to come up with the Alice Medal from now on. Thank you so much for being here, Alice, and thank you for sharing that. We'll be back in just a moment, and we've got another 15 minutes here to get a call in from you at 800-859-0957. See if there are any other recipients for the Alice Medal. Still some time for phone calls here. We'll make sure we give you a chance to ask your question. 800-859-0957. And thanks to the guys from IT and the D. Thank you, Dave Phillips and Bob Waltenspiel and Nuri Gojai, who has been with us. It's been a ball having you guys in here. And if you enjoyed that first hour, there's more of that, much more of that, every Monday live from 9 until 11.
Excuse me,
9 until 11. That's live. But the neat thing about that is you can also tap into that by going to podcastdetroit.com and looking for IT and the D, or going to itandthed.com.
/listen.
And you can tap into all the fun that they have. And Gary and I can vouch for the fact that it is a ball being there. We were guests this last Monday. It was a hoot. It's always something new. And I just loved it, especially when you took off on the Olympic announcers and their overreaction. You know,
I don't even think I can make that analogy on WJR.
No. It was a little too colorful.
You better not. We'd be kicked off.
Yeah, a little too colorful, but that's why
that's what people love about the show.
And that
was
it. It was delightfully irreverent because it's true. They're all gushing. You know, nobody can just say he won. It's like,
yeah.
As you said, it's kind of like the guys when you watch soccer in Latin America, at least, that go, and a guy goes on for, it used to be for like for 10 seconds, and then it got to be 15, 20, 30 seconds of go, and he would just keep on singing that. In any case, that's the kind of crazy fun that you get when you listen to IT and the D. Thanks, guys, as well, for being here and helping us with questions. And let's get back. Matter of fact, Alice, thank you very much for being with us from Southfield. And you had a question to ask, and we want to make sure that you get a chance to ask that.
Put in this event VWR. Yep. On the screen, it said there was this X, and it said event log service is unavailable. Verify that the service is running. Is that an issue?
Well, I don't launch the event viewer that way. I usually find a desktop icon, and then what I do is I right mouse click on my computer or this PC, and I right mouse click and select manage. And when I bring that up, within the list of four different things, Disk Manager, one of them is the Event Viewer as well, that you should be able to find that there. The Event Viewer, I believe, is a service that can be turned on and off.
Mm-hmm.
But try this method first to see if...
So go to any icon that's on the desktop.
No, she has to go to the My Computer or this PC icon that's on the desktop.
My computer. I
forgot the actual nomenclature. There's actually a start run command, and I can't remember what it is. And
But what you said probably is what most people would be able to do, which is to go to the My Computer
or your this PC
or this PC. The icons on your desktop,
right? Or you can go to the Explorer too, where it says this PC.
Wait, just a second.
But I'm not sure if we're going to have time to do this.
I don't see my computer anywhere.
Well, you won't. That's what I'm saying. You have to. It's called this PC.
Thank you.
And
this
so
PC, but I don't see this PC anyplace.
Well, you have to go into an Explorer window, a file Explorer, and on the left-hand side you have this PC, desktop, documents, downloads.
Alice, we're not going to have a chance to do this.
And you right mouse click on it, and then select manage. In there will be the event viewer.
Yeah, but this helps people.
Yeah. I'm just saying. You'll be able to listen to the podcast of this program and run through this again. So don't feel like you got to take all of this down right now immediately. Ed will, I'll make sure that we highlight this particular part of the conversation as well.
Well, and if you go to, if you hit Google, there's actually quite a few, again, another pretty well-known issue apparently. I mean, I just threw an event viewer, Windows 10, event log service not available. There's apparently a couple of KBnets that are out there that have patches, fixes, that kind of stuff for different kinds of issues that can cause it.
Excellent.
In other words, Microsoft has these knowledge-based articles that are out there.
And you used Google, but whenever I'm looking for a Microsoft issue that's particular, I always use Bing because it'll take me first to the Microsoft site rather than some site that I may not know or trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of our older listeners, they can't distinguish is this a legitimate site or not.
Right.
So, okay. But Bing is...
I'm somebody that's pretty basic. This is an operating system 7. Does it matter if I do it? Can I leave it just as it is?
Well, you know, you might want to try. If you're running Windows 7, if your event viewer isn't working, why is it? Your disk drive may be failing. You may have a corrupted registry or hive. You could have damaged files in your computer, and that's why the event viewer isn't working. So it would be interesting for you to go through and search, why is it not working?
Mm-hmm.
And it may lead, hopefully it won't lead you down a hole that basically, that you're gonna find something else wrong with your computer.
Alice, is there a computer store around? Not one of the big boxes, but a little one, a neighborhood computer store that you've dealt with that you believe in?
I have not dealt with anybody.
Okay, I don't know if we have anybody in the Southfield area, but on our homepage, when I've done the podcast, at the very bottom of it, I there's a place where you can click on. It talks about sites that have been recommended by our listeners, people like you. And if you go and click on that one at the very bottom of the page, it'll take you and you can take a look and see if there's something close to you out there. And we recommend the smaller shops because you get that kind of personal service and they can help you step through some of these things. Or if you have somebody in the family who happens to be a adept in technology, they can help you as well. But thanks for being with us, Alice. I want to make sure we get to Steve before
just
we do.
Real quick, for what it's worth, one of our buddies who's also one of our IT&D group members, Tom Lawrence, runs, I just want to make sure I get this right, it is Lawrence Technology Services and PC Pickup. He just fixed Casey's computer, did a great job. It was like doomed and gloom, and he managed to piece it back together. If you can't find one near you, they will actually come out and pick up your computer and bring it back to their shop and fix it.
Excellent.
So that's Lawrence Technology Services.
Lawrence Technology Services. Excellent. That's the kind of thing that we like to be able to promote. And it's not that we get paid to do that kind of thing. It's much more based on these people have given good service, honest service.
Well, and it's he's one of our group members. We know him. We like him. And yay, good networking.
Yeah. That's excellent. Lawrence Technology Services, right?
Yep.
Okay, excellent. And we'll make sure that we have something you can click on our homepage as well for that. All right, let's get to Steve from Jackson. Steve, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Long-time listener. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm really computer illiterate, but I bought a laptop from a big box store about 2 years ago, and I took it there, and they restored got it restored back to a different date, but they wouldn't tell me how. And I just wondered.
So they got you were having some problems, and when you took it into them, magically they restored it to a different date. So the problems
are they went to a back date.
Got
it. But I said, how'd you do that? Because I don't know how they said everybody keeps that a secret.
Oh, that's terrible. They shouldn't have said that.
They're the old school 80s IT guys that want to be wizards and cloaks and dark.
Exactly.
No, it's really not. It's no big secret. I mean, if you run into I think it's F8 or F2, one of the two. You hit it enough times as it's going through boot up, you'll see a system restore option. What it's worth, one of the reasons why they do or people do tend to tell people like that is that's not exactly something you want to do just all willy nilly. it's really not something you want to experiment with or play around with, because you can wind up doing some bad things to your computer.
And
so
it doesn't always work.
Right.
So it's like an option of last resort. It shouldn't be like, oh, where did I put that file last week?
Yeah. But Ed, you have often recommended that.
And fixed it. Like I say, I don't play games on it. I just get on the internet and stuff.
Well,
like
I'm
that.
Glad that they got it back for you, Steve, and that you're back and running that you're happy with the product that you got. Steve, thanks so much for giving us a call.
And Steve can Google that, and it's System Restore, and there's places on the net that'll walk you right through the steps. And again, you're right. It's not something.
And it can seem almost like a magic wand. Hey, guys, Dave, Bob, Nuri, thank you so much for being with us. It has been a ball.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Yeah,
oh,
you guys are the best.
Thanks for sticking around for these 2 hours. Again, folks, thanks so much for being here in the Internet Advisor. On Sunday nights, I post our podcast. That's with all the edits in it, and we have all the links, like, for instance, to Lawrence Technology Services. I'll make sure I put that up there as well for you to get to if you are interested in getting your computer service. Gary, have a great weekend. Ed, you too. And we'll see you folks back here for a very special Apple celebration this coming weekend.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show.